Contemporary composer Stephen Sondheim wrote one of my favorite musicals ever called Sunday in the Park with George. Does anybody know that musical? I had a disagreement actually one night at a dinner table where I said this was this amazing musical. I thought he was a brilliant writer. And somebody said, that was the worst musical ever. And I thought, well, you just didn't understand it. He gives life to the characters in this George Seurat painting, A Sunday Afternoon on the Island of La Grande Jatte. In the second half of the musical, there's a conversation about things that are changing in life and in art. What is beautiful, they are wondering. Pretty isn't beautiful, she says. Pretty is what changes. What the eye arranges is what is beautiful. Perhaps today we should add ear, what the ear arranges, in recognition of the sonata we've been enjoying today. Aren't we blessed to have beauty among us? These windows, this sanctuary, this music, each other, our cups runneth over. Life is so full. Like Zadie Smith's image this morning, the million-petaled flower of being here in the world with other people, an image of multiplicity, of layer after layer, of color and texture, of beauty. The image from a book written by a young and inspired English woman practicing her craft. I was listening this morning to NPR to Keith Jarrett being interviewed. He talked about why he makes noise in his concerts when he's playing the piano. In the Colm concert particularly, you hear him moaning. And he talks about the experience as just being so full, he couldn't help himself. He couldn't help but make sound out of the fullness of the experience. We celebrate today the women in our lives who have both labored and practiced, both toiled and gifted us with a sense of the beautiful, the rose that all should have access to, that all should have a right to, as Ms. Schneiderman suggested. Did you know that Beethoven's mother died at the age of 40, unwell from a life of poverty and ill health? And he said of her, "She was such a kind, loving mother to me and my best friend." Whether we are a mother, or undoubtedly we all have a mother, whether our gender disposes us to motherhood or our hearts incline us, we are encouraged this morning to take a moment and appreciate what this Mother's Day was intended to be by its originator. Anna Jarvis worked hard in the early 1900s to get this day set aside as a way of honoring the sacrifices that mothers made for their children. And I'm hoping this morning that we can expand the literal sense of mother to include all those who have worked for a better world, for all of us, for all children, everywhere. Never married and not having children of her own, Anna Jarvis resolved to get this day on the calendar with thoughts of her own mother in mind. Yet when it became the pinnacle of opportunity for florists and greeting card makers, she worked just as hard to get it taken off the calendar. She died penniless for having paid attorneys so much of her money. As we go marching, marching in the beauty of the day, a million darkened kitchens, a thousand mill lofts gray are touched with all the radiance that a sudden sun discloses, for the people hear us singing bread and roses, bread and roses. At the same time that Anna Jarvis was working to get Mother's Day on the calendar, James Oppenheim was an American poet and novelist and editor, wrote that poem, Bread and Roses. He wrote it after hearing Rose Schneiderman's comment that the worker must have bread, but she must have roses too. He had explored union and suffragist themes in some of his fiction writing. You may be familiar with the fact that this slogan is now commonly associated with the textile workers' strike right up the road in Lawrence, Massachusetts, in 1911. just over 100 years ago. At the time, a state legislator warned, "Get women into the arena of politics with its alliances and distressing contests. The delicacy is gone, the charm is gone, and you emasculize women." Schneiderman replied, "We have women working in the foundries, stripped to the waist, if you please, because of the heat, yet the senator says nothing about these women losing their charm. Of course, you know the reason they're employed in foundries is that they are cheaper and work longer hours than men. Women in the laundries, for instance, stand for 13 or 14 hours in the terrible steam and heat with their hands in hot starch. Surely these women won't lose any more of their beauty and charm by putting a ballot in the ballot box once a year than they are likely to lose standing in foundries or laundries all year round. There is no harder contest than the contest for bread," she said, "let me tell you that. As we come marching, marching, we battle too for men, for they are women's children and we mother them again. Our lives shall not be sweated from birth until life closes. Hearts starve as well as bodies. Give us bread, but give us roses." Art and beauty are about tending the soul, the very work of the world's heart, as Alison Luderman reminded us. There is no other art. We are touched, each of us, by every piece of beauty that lights upon our souls, in poetry, in music, in painting and sculpture and craft, in nature, in relationships, in giving and receiving. And how could we not want that for all people? The way we want justice and safety and opportunity. As we come marching, marching, unnumbered women dead go crying through our singing their ancient call for bread. Small art and love and beauty their trudging spirits knew. Yes, it is bread we fight for, but we fight for roses too. Where in your life are the places of beauty? Where in your life is the pursuit of beauty? If the mightiest word were love, as our opening poet Elizabeth Alexander suggested and Heschel so skillfully offered, how might all things be sourced in what is beautiful? Love is the hinge that makes labor and art and indeed all life one essence. One beauty, the work of my heart is the work of the world's heart. When love is our guide, our incentive, our muse, all things can be beautiful. When love undergirds all our motivations, then justice is beauty. When love is the motivator, the eye and the ear have the potential to arrange beauty in every space, even the hurt spaces, even the tender spaces. Love beyond marital, filial, national, love that casts a widening pool of light. As we come marching, marching, we bring the greater days. The rising of the women means the rising of the race. No more the drudge and idler, ten that toil where one reposes, but a sharing of life's glories, bread and roses, bread and roses. However long Mother's Day lasts, it need not be a day of commercial remembrance, but a reminder of all the mothers who have made us stronger, whether they had children or not, all the caretakers who put the pursuit of both work and beauty into their daily awareness, who loved the world enough to make it so. It is in each of you too. I know it, I have seen it, and the world needs it. Let us go forward in that light. So may it be.